Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Right here on 830 WCCO, in spite of 31 degrees in the Twin Cities, we are going to talk lawns and gardens. Mary Meyer is with us from the University of Minnesota, a horticultural science faculty member, helps us out from time to time a lot here on CCO. And you mentioned a word I had never heard of before. Tell me the word and then explain it, please.
Okay. I was talking about marcescence. Now, marcescence, this is not a person. This is a condition when trees' leaves stay on the tree longer than normal. And this year we saw this with not so good fall colors. Trees' leaves froze on the tree.
They actually froze
green,
on the tree.
Froze on the tree green. I saw this on an alder and a ginkgo over in the St. Paul campus. And what happens is we didn't see as much fall color with some trees. So we have really nice, warm, growing conditions. Trees are thinking, okay, things are going well here. And then bang, colder than normal weather froze the green leaves and just kind of suspended them, and they hadn't dropped off yet. So that was unusual. We do see this sometimes on oaks. The brown leaves stay on all winter. They never fall
yes, that
off.
I
on,
see.
You see that on the yeah. lower parts of some trees. That's genetically happens with some trees. And we think maybe it deters browsing with deer and so on, so that they don't like to, that those are unpalatable things to eat. So they prevent deer browsing from twigs and so on. So it's kind of a preventative measure sometimes for trees. Yeah. But this year it was sad. It's amazing, Denny, because the ginkgos at the Arboretum had some beautiful yellow fall color that they're known for. Ginkgo on the St. Paul campus, I love seeing that and walk under it. It was just totally green. And then, boom, dropped the leaves, totally green. That abscission layer that drops the leaves formed later after they were green. So it was an unusual year for us looking at a fall color and sometimes a disappointment this year, but that marcescence.
Marcescence.
Is the word for that. It's, yeah, the.
Sounds like it might be a perfume or something.
It's, right. It has something to do with dead things hanging on things that are alive. But anyway, that's.
I think some of us feel that way because of this weather.
Right. So, yeah, we don't see that every year. It just depends. And you could say, well, it's warmer falls. We've had the nice warmer fall conditions, which are nice, but now it does seem like. December, January. It seems
kinda
cold.
Does.
It seems cold
yeah.
out today.
We'll
right.
get a little break here in the next few days or so that'll help.
Right, that will help. But there are still things you can do outside for gardening.
Like what?
Mark Seely actually got the question yesterday on his weather talk show was, can I still plant spring flowering bulbs, daffodils, tulips, and so on? And I first thought, is the ground frozen? No, it's not frozen yet. So, but it's getting cold. But yes, as long as now is the time to do that.
Okay.
Now, if you've got anything in your garage, you forgot to plant any bulbs, yes, you can get out and do that. And we are approaching our best season for pruning. So pruning oaks, pruning ash trees, you can start to cut your evergreens for your pots if you want to do your own pots and so on. Yes, so pruning is, you can pretty much do that now except for the early spring flowering plants.
If you do have a question for Mary, 651-989-9226. There is a line open if you want to use it, or send Mary a text at 81807. We'll get back to the phones in a moment. But as an educator, you're out and about a variety of places. I know you were someplace
still
recently.
Teaching. Yes. So yesterday I was lucky to go to the Science Teachers Convention that was in St. Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a workshop on the 10 Plants book. So, trying to prevent plant blindness. So people
tell us about
plants,
that again, because it's
plants.
A book we've talked about in the past that
yeah,
you're very proud of.
Yeah, the 10 Plants That Changed Minnesota. And I did this book with Susan Davis Price, and the Historical Society Press published it. So it's a lot of fun. But as soon as I published it, I realized, well, you know, there's a lot of activities for kids here, for middle school, high school students. So we have a handbook for teachers, and I was giving it out for science teachers yesterday. So if any listeners are teachers for middle, especially middle and high school students, I'm happy to connect you with those resources and get those to you so you can use them in your classroom. And of course, the science teachers are all very interested in teaching science, but it was a fun day because the Raptor Center had an owl there for teachers to see, and the Ag in the Classroom had a gigantic turkey. A gigantic turkey in a cage, live. Turkeys, I didn't realize how much noise they made. But that was a lot of fun because that was a booth near mine. So it was a great, great time to visit with science
teachers.
Well,
that's neat. You enjoy your work, don't you?
Oh, yes. Teaching plant science is the best.
Well, you help our listeners out a lot all the time here on CCO. We appreciate that. I know they do, too. I'll tell you what, before we break, let's go to Linda, who's calling in from Bloomington. Thanks for waiting, Linda.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
Question about clematis or clematis, whichever way you pronounce it. What to do about this plant in the winter in Minnesota?
I don't.
Yes,
I don't do anything to my clematis, and yeah, it's kind of a regional pronunciation, so either one goes. We say both here. We're very cosmopolitan, I guess, in Minnesota. But I don't do anything to mine to prepare it for the winter. Sometimes the buds are high on the clematis. Sometimes they're down at the base. It really depends on the type that you have, and so I don't do any pruning. And sometimes this might make you a little uncomfortable because it can be a big vine that has a lot of brown foliage on it, but I just leave it alone until early spring, and then I see where the buds are coming from, and then I do the pruning. If you prune it back too hard this time of year, you could actually cut off a lot of the wood that's actually alive on a clematis.
All right. There you go, Linda. By the way, our Smart Garden Show around every week is sponsored by our great friends down in Jordan, Minnesota, called By the Yard. They make the best patio furniture in the whole world. And talk about a green company. We will do that in before this hour is up. So thanks to our folks at By the Yard. If you want to send Mary a text, 81807. And here's a texter that referenced what you said about the freezing. What did you call that? Essence again?
Oh, Marcescence. Marcescent. Marcescence is the condition. Marcescent leaves.
All right.
So, right.
Well, the texter says that happened to our gorgeous Norway maple. Leaves are green and crispy.
Yes, yes. Now, yeah, and so different trees, yes, we're in a different stage of going into dormancy and dropping their foliage, but yes. And I don't doubt that there are trees in the Twin Cities that are still holding those crisp, green, frozen leaves.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of weeks, they'll be gone.
Texter says, I thought we had to wait till January to prune trees. Not necessarily at all.
No, not necessarily. It's when they're dormant. When they're dormant and not growing. And if you look on the My Minnesota Woods page, that's where our foresters, our forest resources folks post their references. They will talk about the low activity now for the emerald ash borer and oak wilt and being good times for pruning. So once we get into the dormant conditions of winter, which suddenly we are.
Yes, we are. Now, speaking of dormant, the texter says, can we put down grass seed now? I assume they mean dormant seeding.
Yes, this dormant seeding. I'm going to try this with one of my neighbors. And yes, you can do this now. So we have passed the point where the seed might germinate. It will not germinate now. And that's what you want. You want, before the soil is frozen, to have some freezing and thawing the seed to get down into the soil. And then first thing in the spring when conditions are right, you will get a jump on that grass growing. So dormant seeding on lawns, yes, you can do that now.
Okay, very good. Hang on, Mary. We'll take a bit of a break here, and we'll be right back. If you have a lawn or garden question by phone, 651-989-9226. Or if you'd rather send a text, and we'll get back to both in just a moment. 81807 is that text number. It's 818 here on CCO. 31 degrees. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Danny Long here with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota Extension helping us out. And Mary, we have callers, we have texters, as usual.
Good.
So let's help them out here. Let's see who's been waiting. It would be Joan, who's calling from Edina. Joan, you're on with Mary.
Hi, Mary. Good morning. Chilly.
Good morning.
What I'm calling for, I have raised orchids for 30 years, and this last year I've lost 3 orchids to a virus. It's been diagnosed as a virus. We've gone online. We've called various orchid growers, and nobody can give me a reason as to why they contact this virus. Do you have any idea?
Actually, I can do some guessing along with you, Joan, but your 30 years is probably more than mine with my experience with orchids. But usually what we know about viruses is they are often in the plant when you buy them, and they are not expressing their symptoms, so you don't see that. Sometimes it's a maturity thing, an age thing. The virus develops more, and then you'll be able to see it. So the best thing is disposing of those plants that had the virus, keeping things clean. Don't reuse pots that you had those plants in unless you really go through some type of a sanitation and bleach method. But even then, viruses are very tough to control because they are very, very small. So I would do some sanitation, get some new plants, and hopefully you won't have that issue in the future. The good thing about orchids is they're mass propagated and produced today, and they're very inexpensive. So you can buy more new ones, but perhaps not the same heritage or historical ones you had. But I would encourage you to continue with your orchids. Just continue to get new ones as clean as possible.
Very good. Thank you, Joan. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. We'll get back to the text screen in just a moment. Donna, though, is calling from Bloomington. Donna, you're on CCO with Mary.
Mary, thank you for taking my call. I'm wondering what I can do to keep the squirrels from digging up new tulip bulbs. And I'm wondering if I could sprinkle some pepper on it, if maybe that would deter them.
You could try that. Really, the best thing to do is if you can... I know you might not want to do this, is if you put down some type of a barrier so they can't get in the ground. So this means laying chicken wire flat on the ground, positioning that so they can't really dig through it. Now, this doesn't look so good, and then it's more challenging for the plants to grow up through that. But for a time period, especially in the fall before the ground freezes, some type of a mechanical barrier really is your best bet. The odor, like pepper and so on, you got to put a huge amount of that on, and then it evaporates and it deteriorates with rain and so on.
So you've got to keep applying it.
You've got to keep applying it, right. Yeah. Daffodils don't have the attraction that tulips do. But tulips, yes, they are like onions. They taste very good to a lot of animals. So the bulb or the plant, deer love to eat the tops of tulips. So it's a difficult issue other than some type of a barrier.
A barrier, yeah. Dorothy in Minneapolis is calling in with a question. Dorothy, Mary is listening. Hi, Dorothy. Dorothy is not listening. She's not listening to the telephone. Let's do a text while Dorothy is gathering her wits about her. Meyer lemon tree question. As soon as I brought it indoors, it began to bloom profusely. Any suggestions for successful indoor pollinating?
You don't have to worry about the pollination with citrus. They're self-pollinated, and they will produce well. And the Meyer lemon is not related to me, although I've got a couple of those myself. And that's it's a cross between a mandarin orange and a lemon. So it's a much less tart lemon. It's a very easy houseplant to grow indoors as long as you have enough light. So they're self-fruitful. One plant, many blooms. They tend to have a lot of blooms on. Several of those blooms you might get 3 lemons growing right together, but a lot of sun and should be fine.
Okay, a lot of light, though. Sean in Rochester is calling in with a question. Go ahead, Sean. We're listening.
Good morning. I have a question about watering at this time of year. Black Hills pine or spruce, they're about 1 year old. Can you continue watering?
You can continue watering, but once the soil freezes, the roots obviously are not going to be growing any further. If we have had a lot of rain this year, but if you're concerned because they're new, 1 year old, or you have a drier site, yes, I would be put the water on slowly so that it doesn't run away and erode things. But you can water until the ground freezes.
All right, very good. Mary, we're going to take our usual break here, but we have more show to come. We have another half hour of the show to come, as a matter of fact. If you want to call in your lawn or garden question, 651-989-9226. Text number, and we will get back to that in a moment, 81807 for your text messages. If you feel that cold air coming in around your windows, or maybe your heating bill, last year, last season, the heating season was higher than it had been before. Time for you to contact Linda's Construction and ask them about both Season Guard windows or Infinity by Marvin. These windows are tremendous. If product innovation, high quality performance, and exemplary customer service are important to you when making that window purchase decision, then you're going to love Season Guard windows. Finest window replacement systems for your home. Season Guard is the only window to receive the Energy Star 3 years in a row, made for Minnesota climate. And also now, the Marvin family of brands headquartered in Warroad, Minnesota, has become one of the world's leading brands by adhering to the highest possible standards. It's called the Infinity from Marvin, and Lindis also offers that as well. Right now, you can still get free installation on that labor on Season Guard windows or Infinity by Marvin. Some restrictions apply. Lindus Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. That's lindusconstruction.com, or call them. Here's that famous number, 1-800-LEAF-GUARD.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personality.
And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show, brought to us every week by our friends at By the Yard Patio Furniture. We'll talk about that great product, I should say products, coming up in a moment. If you do have a lawn and garden question for Mary Meyer, now is your chance. There's a line open. You can use it, 651-989-9226, or send a text if that's easier, 81807. Steve is calling from Greenwood with a question. Mary, go ahead, Steve. Thank you.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. My neighbor had a big moonflower plant, and they had the seed pods on them. They're all spiny, and there was a lot of green ones, but only two brown ones. And I took both of each. Now, do those green seed pods, do they have to dry out and crack before I cut them open? And do I plant them now or in the spring?
Well, I'm not sure that the green seed pods are going to have ripe seeds, Steve. If you've got some brown ones, those are, you know, the more dead looking the seed pod is, the more likely the seed is ripe. So immature seed is not going to germinate in the end. It just is, it's going to shrivel up and mold rather than just be dormant for a while. So it's kind of hard to say at this point what's dead and what's going to live for you. But it's the springtime that you would plant them. It is not now that you'd plant them. Sometimes people keep seed in conditions like their refrigerator. So cool conditions are good. You can put the seed in a plastic bag in your refrigerator. You could actually, probably better than a plastic bag is a paper bag. Because it might start to mold in the plastic bag. So a paper bag in your refrigerator, the back of the refrigerator, and then next spring, think about planting them outside. By next spring, you'll be able to see the condition of the seed, and maybe after a month or so, you could look at them in your refrigerator, see what's moldy, and you'll easily be able to tell a difference in good seed and bad.
Very good. Texter wants to know, what should I do with my large hydrangea and nine wine bark bushes for the winter?
You really don't need to do anything. Many people think about pruning hydrangea this time of year, but you don't have to do that. So I do the pruning on both those shrubs in the springtime. And so you don't have to do anything.
Nothing at all.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. Judy is calling in from Maplewood. Judy, you're on with Mary.
Hi, Mary. I have a question about an unusual tree. We had two pawpaw trees. One of them didn't make it, and the other one is about 8 feet tall. This spring, we had oodles of blossoms on that tree, and we didn't expect anything because we were told you needed two different types for them to cross-pollinate. We actually got one pawpaw. How can we make sure we get more next year?
So you do still have two trees.
No, one of them died.
Oh, one died.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm still in shock here with the fact that you've got a pawpaw tree living in Minnesota. So this is a native tree, mostly down to like Tennessee, Missouri, and so on. This is a tree that is a fruit that most people don't experience tasting. It tastes like vanilla custard. And you're right. You need a couple of trees. I suggest that you buy two or three new trees from a nursery somewhere in the south and get them in the spring and plant them and hope for the best. I really don't know anyone that's grown pawpaws in Minnesota, but if you're in the city, I can't remember where this caller is. If you're in the city, maybe. But gosh, I almost would like to see these. I've thought about growing pawpaws myself, but just never thought it would work here because it's so, it's just, we just have colder conditions than where you can normally grow them.
All right. It sounds like if you can be successful, especially if you live down south, what a great taste you just described.
Yeah, there's no storage life with this fruit. Absolutely none. And it looks like it's rotten when it's ripe. So there's some limiting factors here with the pawpaw, but it's just incredible. I really feel fortunate that someone showed me what they looked like, brought some to me at the Arboretum when they were at the peak time to eat. And it's like eating vanilla custard. It's just really, it's amazing. So this is the wonder of plants is that, you know, when I was a kid, blueberries were not a year-round plant grown and available all the time. Of course, we knew what they were. But, you know, today we're talking about pawpaws. Maybe in the future, yeah, we will have the technology so that pawpaws can be a fruit that we can enjoy at least seasonally, if not year-round.
Yeah.
So, and it's a native plant, which is very interesting.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's see. Texter says this, I have a landscaping project to finish. Can I successfully transplant hostas right now?
Well, hostas are really tough. I guess if you have to, you could do that. I probably wouldn't do that if I had any way I could get around it at this point. Hostas are really tough. The one thing you don't want to do is dig them and leave them above the soil. They're not going to survive out of the ground. If possible, I would leave them where they are. If not, you know, you can, it's not a big cost to replace hosta. So if you're really desperate in getting down to the wire, as soon as possible, move them and put them in the ground as soon as possible.
You know, what we haven't mentioned yet is the website, the university's website.
Oh, yeah. So extension.umn.edu, a great website. You can go there and click on What's Wrong With My Plant, landscaping, get a lot of ideas. We have a great database that Julie Weisenhorn has made and works on there. So lots of resources there, lots of recommendations and information, tips for what to do this time of year. So extension.umn.edu.
You can kind of read up on all sorts of things and be prepared for next growing season.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Brian in Minneapolis has been waiting on the phone. Brian, Mary's listening. Thank you.
Hey, great show, as usual.
Thank you.
I have a unusual situation with some Annabelle hydrangea plants. Never experienced it before. About a month ago, as they were dying back, one bloom came up and was pure white. And so I cut it off and brought it into the house, put it in some water. And this is a month ago. All the leaves have dried up and fallen off, and the bloom is still as white as it was when I cut it. Have you ever heard of that before?
Well, that is kind of amazing. I think what happens is what happened was the timing of your cutting it was perfect as far as enabling it to live for quite a long time. It was probably young enough that it was just prior to the peak. Sometimes when flowers are at their peak and we pick them, they continue to senesce and die indoors. But this one maybe was a little bit early so that you were able to enjoy the peak of it. Hydrangeas are amazing in that they, if you get them at the right stage, they can be suspended and even dried in a state that doesn't change. But the color, I think really the interesting thing is the whiteness and the color that yours has retained. So that's great. It's interesting. Good for you.
Thank you, Brian. 651-989-9226 if you want to phone in your lawn or garden question, or send a text, 81807. Here is a text, Mary. Can you seed now and use Weed and Feed in the spring?
You can seed now with lawns with dormant seeding. It's when the seed will not germinate now, but give you a head start in the spring. If you seed, can you still use Weed and Feed? Well, you don't really want to put Weed and Feed on until your lawn is well established enough and you have weeds that are large enough that will take up that chemical. So I'm kind of envisioning a bare area. And if you did use Weed and Feed, it would be after your lawn has been established enough for you to mow it next spring.
Okay. Already thinking of next spring.
That's good.
And by the way, if you want to send a text, 81807, texter questions, do any herbs thrive indoors? Parsley is very leggy.
Yeah, parsley gets leggy because it needs a really bright light conditions. Well, I have brought my rosemary plant indoors, and I'm hoping for the best. That is not an easy plant to grow indoors, but I have a healthy plant, and for a few weeks now, hopefully through Thanksgiving, I'll have some herb to use. Basil is kind of difficult. That likes full sun conditions. Oregano likes full sun as well. It's not easy because our herbs like well-drained soil and really bright light conditions. Parsley might be one of the easiest ones, but again, you need that really high light, southern bright light conditions, or even supplemental lights down close near the plant.
We talked about a Meyer lemon plant earlier, Mary. As you know, here's a text that says, should my blooming Meyer lemon plant be fertilized?
Yes. Thanks for bringing that up, because other than light, that is the next thing. The citrus are really pretty heavy feeders, so regular fertilization, even through the winter. You can cut down in the amount and number of times you give it through the winter, but when it's got the fruit on citrus, they especially like acidic fertilizers. So I use liquid fertilizer. So at least once a month in the winter, maybe once every 2 or 3 weeks. If your plants are growing healthy when they're outside in the summer, you can fertilize them every week.
All right. Very good. Mary, let's take a quick break. We have more show to come here on a Smart Garden Show. 651-989-9226. Text number is 81807. I mentioned before that By the Art Furniture, those folks down in Jordan, Minnesota, sponsor the show every week. We appreciate that. And they wanted me to mention that everyone at By the Art, and I would like to say the same thing, thank you to all our veterans today. This business at By the Art is family-owned, all the products made in America. And it's becoming more and more important to remember and honor those who fought and did fight and are fighting, for that matter, for our freedom. For this reason, By the Art offers veterans something special. Veterans are going to receive free local assembly and delivery of that furniture. Remember, even though the weather has changed, By the Art showroom is still open year-round. I urge you to get on the website, bytheyard.net, for times and directions. A great, great showroom. Lots of tremendous ideas there. You can call for that free catalog, 1-877-220-0448. And remember to like their Facebook page and follow them on Instagram for all the latest By the Yard info. New mission products, by the way, are being released very soon. Bytheyard.net. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. We are around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Our thanks to Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota joining us today, helping you out. And as usual, Mary, we've got more texters we can help out. A few more just came in. Let's see. Boy, it really jumped. Let's see. Doo-doo-doo. Can I cover my roses now? Did we do that one yet? I don't think so.
We didn't do that one yet. Covering roses. October 15th is our traditional day at the Arboretum. Plants have no idea that we have a calendar we're looking at, so they go by the weather conditions. And with mild weather conditions, I actually saw some blooms on roses, kind of frozen, but I did see blooms on roses just yesterday, which is kind of amazing. So, yes, you probably can cover up your roses now. We are at November 11th. Yes, I would go ahead and do that. I do that the first part of this week when it's a little bit milder.
Okay. Texter wants to know, how do I care for my lavender plant? It is still green. Do I cut it back now, cover with leaves, or cut it back in the spring? Do I leave it alone now and cover it with leaves? My perennials are still green. Do I cut them back now?
Lavender is a kind of temperamental plant for us. In well-drained soils, I have had some plants that have lived for many years, but good drainage in the winter is essential. I do nothing to my lavender plants, but they are in a place where they get totally covered by leaves. So the natural leaf fall, I just let them accumulate, completely cover that plant off. They usually need some protection in the winter. So leaves are a good protection for them in the winter, but I never prune it until it starts to grow late in the spring. And was there another question with another plant or just lavender?
Do I cut back now? They're talking about perennials in general.
Perennials in general?
Right, yes. Still green. Do I cut them back now?
I only have cut back diseased perennials. And then I remove that, put that in municipal compost if you have any diseases. But I enjoy the perennials and their appearance through the winter, especially grasses.
Do you know this? Do wasps reuse a nest, or can I assume, Texter says, this large one on our maple tree is good to retrieve?
I would remove that nest. This temperature is like this. You will find nothing moving or apparently alive in that nest. So if you can get a pruning shears or a long-handled pruner to cut off the branch where the nest is, it'll come down, and then you can put it in a plastic bag, put it in the garbage.
Another text question says this. We're building a new home currently, and our builder wants to sod the yard next week when it will be 40 to 50 degrees. Is this a good idea?
Now, no.
I've heard that folks have had success here up until the first snowfall, which we've already had, but...
Yeah. Well, it's kind of rough. The thing is with that sod is ideally we are hoping to get some knitting in of the roots before winter takes over. So unfortunately, it's been very cold now. We are down at, I would say, 40 degrees with the soil temperature, and 45 is where a lot of roots quit growing. You want to water sod after you put it in, and you need the best of conditions for at least 2 weeks, I would say, before you get some establishment on sod. It's a big risk. I would really talk to the sod supplier and say if they're willing to recover the whole thing and replace the whole thing in next spring.
I agree. Good. Yeah. I want to mention before we go on that about our friends at Linda's Construction. By the way, the Home Improvement Show is next hour. But as far as windows go, we were mentioning it last hour. If your heating bill was higher last season, maybe you should contact Linda's Construction. They've got a couple of window products that are just tremendous. Season Guard windows and Infinity by Marvin. In fact, the Season Guard windows, by the way, finest window replacement system for your home. Season Guard, the only window to receive the Energy Star 3 years in a row. It's made for our climate here in Minnesota. But also, Lindis also offers the Marvin family of brands. This one is called Infinity by Marvin, another tremendous window product. You can still get free installation on labor on Season Guard windows and Infinity by Marvin. Some restrictions apply. Just go to lindisconstruction.com or call 1-800-LEAF-GUARD. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by our friends at Buy the Yard Furniture. Mary Meyer is with us here from the University of Minnesota Extension. Mary, as usual, we have a lot of textures we can help out. There's so many.
People
where do we
are
begin?
Thinking about plants.
They are.
That's great.
Let's see. Now that I brought my daughter's succulents inside, how do I manage those for the winter?
Succulents are pretty easy. Bright, bright light conditions, the best light you can give them, and really don't water them too much because the watering needs will be really low through the winter. So low water, high light.
Can I cover my rose plant with leaves now for the winter?
Yes.
Okay.
I would do that. And leaves are a great mulch.
Good. Cilantro had tiny leaves, plant very tall. How to care for outdoors that plant in the summer?
Yeah, cilantro, it's really an annual. The And so it's kind of like parsley for us. You can use the leaves until they die, but then it's going to be an annual, and you'll have to start from seed again next spring.
Okay. Well, we have our Creeping Charlie question. We have Creeping Charlie in the backyard. I was told after a hard frost to put down the chemical for it. Can I still do it at this time?
No. Most chemicals need 50 degrees at least in order to be working properly outdoors.
It is still true that fall is probably the best time
for that. It is. Creeping Charlie tends to grow rapidly in the fall, but by now we are into more of a senescence period. It is not green anymore. It's more of a burgundy color. It's already beginning to shut down, so it'd be low uptake of chemical if it was warm enough for the chemical to work. So I think it's too late this year to be using any herbicide effectively like that for Creeping Charlie.
Sure. My husband, Texter, says does woodworking and creates a lot of wood shavings, pine, oak, hickory, etc. Can all of those be used as mulch around plants, or are there some species that you can't use for mulch?
Well, I'd be careful with a walnut. Anything that's a walnut, the juglans has that allelopathy. Other than the walnut, as long as it's not bark, which can harbor insects and have other issues, as long as it's the inside of the tree and the wood, and it's not black walnut, which is the most common one for us in the juglans family, yes, you can use it for mulch.
They have a three-year-old hydrangea tree listing to the north. How do I straighten it? Can I do it now?
Well, you can try. You'd have to put a supporting pole on the south and then support it low near the base to try to anchor it back in. You could try that now, and you might be more effective in the spring. It all depends on how easy it is to access it and if it will stay through the winter tied up, supported.
Okay. Remember we were talking about the pawpaw tree. Can this tree be grown indoors?
I don't think so. It's like growing an apple tree indoors. Oh. They're deciduous trees, so they need the dormant period and the cold treatment that we have outdoors. So it isn't like a citrus.
We have a 25-plus foot pine tree that has a needle disease. We sprayed it twice this summer. Now it's all turning brown. Is it dying?
I would get an arborist to look at that. A couple of different ones if you don't get the same opinion. There are a number of needle diseases that affect pines and spruce, and so determining what the tree is the first thing to do. And you can look on the website, extension.umn.edu, look for some pictures that might look like what your tree looks like, but really you need an arborist to make a good call on that.
Mary, we have a little less than a minute to go, and maybe we should mention, first of all, the website.
extension.umn.edu. Click on Garden, and then you'll find lots of resources for all your gardening questions.
And don't forget to visit the Arboretum.
Oh, yes. We're gearing up now for the holiday season. We're going to have some wonderful winter lights out there, a beautiful poinsettia tree. Always a great place to walk around the Arboretum for renewal and reflection. Plants are there to help us.
Yes. And give us a location. What's the direction
there? The Arboretum is west of the Twin Cities, just west of the intersection of 41 and 5, south of Route 5. But we're open every day except Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day.
It's a great place. Especially this time of year, bring family and friends.
Bring family and friends. Have some hot cocoa. Take a walk. Great place to visit.
It's good to see you again, Mary.
Wonderful to be here. My pleasure to be on WCCO.
Thank you very much. 31 degrees in the Twin Cities. Get those home improvement questions ready. The Lindis Hour coming up next hour.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.